Welcome to it. Welcome to the real world of being 3-0. Best team in the AFC? No question.
No doubt.
Best team in the AFC West? No question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it's ugly or pretty. Just win. You've watched enough football in the first 3 weeks of the season. You've seen it. Teams can't do it. What happened to Baker Mayfield? He met Bo Nix.
Boy, he met Bo Nix yesterday, didn't he? How good was Bo Nix? Best rookie quarterback in the NFL, and it ain't even close.
Right? You had primetime Kurt again yesterday.
Yes.
Played well. Didn't have a turnover.
Nah, he had an INT in that game.
That's right, he did.
He had a big INT in that game yesterday.
Jamari Connor.
Jamari.
Two-fifths of his offensive line left midway through the game yesterday, but maybe, whatever.
Maybe they made a business decision.
Maybe they did. How about that story that's coming out tonight, last night,
Antonio
early this morning,
Pierce,
Antonio Pierce and the Raiders. People are making business decisions, and we're going to make business decisions about them.
That's right.
Oh, it's getting good in Las Vegas right now. I heard a stat this morning that they've now played 36 games, I think, in Las Vegas, and they've lost 18 of their first 36 games in Las Vegas. When they started as a franchise in Oakland, they lost 18 of their first 100 home games in Oakland. So this is a Raider franchise, man, that no matter who they hire, they're trying to find their way. They even put Aiden O'Connell in there yesterday. So wild day in the NFL, and that's why if you're waking up this morning and you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, the Chiefs barely escaped. This is a big win in this league now, Dusty. I mean, this thing is off the rails already. I mean, we were just kind of texting back and forth yesterday going, okay, this team lost, but they beat this team last week who then lost. Like, it's just a mess of a puzzle right now in the NFL. Other than the Chiefs, I mean, who are you looking at that you can say is a legit team? Maybe we'll find out Buffalo is tonight, but Miami's done. Baltimore, you know, who knows what they're all about. Dallas is clearly cooked. And I mean, we're 3 weeks into the season. And again, everything we knew in week one, we forgot in week two. Everything we knew in week two, we clearly forgot in week three, other than the Chiefs just find ways to win. And that's what this sucker is all about, man. Survive in advance. And keep that in mind as you wake up this morning and you're thinking, Travis Kelce didn't do anything. Patrick Mahomes was off target. The offense needs Pacheco back. They found a way to get a win yesterday in Atlanta. And I thought it was a damn good win yesterday. Welcome back, Nick Bolton, too. Huh? How about that?
Kidding. We'll talk to Derek Johnson coming up here in about an hour or so. Really interested to hear what he has to say about that, because there's no doubt about it. Nick Bolton was the best player in the field last night.
No doubt. I mean, Nick Bolton came to play. He had heard 2 weeks of everybody talking about how, oh my God, where's Nick Bolton? He's probably playing himself out of Kansas City for a contract, and then goes in there last night and has arguably the play of the game with a big defensive stop on fourth down. And, you know, twice on the final two drives, they held Atlanta on fourth down. What a great job defensively, I thought, yesterday by everybody out there. Turk Wharton's making plays. Leo Chenal's making plays out there yesterday. Shamari Connor making plays. Trent McDuffie's making plays when he's not getting called for a faux pass interference call. Right. I mean, even Chris Jones is all over the place yesterday. Like, I thought this defense as a unit really, really stepped it up. And after they gave up that big play and touchdown to Kyle Pitts, they allowed a field goal the rest of the way. I mean, that's how good they were yesterday. Tip of the cap to the defense, man.
No doubt. Play the game.
Atlanta gets out of the huddle. Cousins will be under center on fourth down and a yard to go. Long count. They give it off. Bashaun Robinson hit in the backfield. He goes down. Kansas City holds on downs again. Nick Bolton scrapes to the outside and makes the hit. And Kansas City defensively holds on downs. Fourth down at the 6 and now the 13. And preserves a 22-17 lead at 51 seconds to go in the game.
Nick Bolton said, we're ready to get out of Atlanta.
Yep.
This is the game. This is where I am, that guy. Obviously, he was dinged up that night. A couple plays where he, you know, got up a little gingerly.
Boy, but he gets hurt a lot, doesn't he? Because he's playing reckless, man.
When you play linebacker like Isaiah Pacheco runs, I can see that. But I see a stat on TV right now. A lot of people will blame the pass interference in the end zone, whatever.
Right,
some people will blame this or that. Look, the Falcons had 8 plays inside the red zone on their final two drives, 0 points.
Yeah, you got to take a field goal, too, at some point in time if you're Raheem Morris.
I mean,
you're down, what, 5 or something
right.
In that situation. Kick kick a field goal, stay down two, go back and kick another field goal, maybe you win that football game. But yeah. I think, you know, in some of those situations, guys get greedy. Take the points when you have the opportunity to take the points. And who knows, maybe the Atlanta Falcons are winning that game 23-22 yesterday instead of the Chiefs coming out on top 22-17. So you take advantage of mistakes made all over the place. And the Chiefs are great about that, man. If you make a mistake and you let them hang around and you let them just be there and kind of lay in the weeds, they're going to find a way to do it. And they've won 9 straight football games now dating back to last season. And I just don't know if there's anybody right now in the league that you could physically say, or whatever the word is you want to use, that's better than this football team right now. Even with the warts and some of the things that we don't like, you know, about this team right now, they're still head and shoulders better than everybody else out there because they know how to win. They find ways to win and they do those little things that are necessary. That's a championship contender right there because they've been there before. These guys have been through the tough times. They've been through the growing pains. They know what it takes to win a football game. And boy, Nick Bolton, Rashee Rice, the offensive MVP of last night's game. Dudes are stepping up, man. I like the way that they played last night. That's a team win yesterday. I know we've gotten accustomed over the years to winning games and blowouts and offensive, you know, fireworks and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Those days may be done. This has become more of a team over the last 2 years than it was in the past where the offense just had to lead the way.
I was going to say that felt like a full team win.
It did.
Last night, I mean, Carson Steele did his job.
Really nice performance.
Missed his sister's wedding.
Right.
He said he's married to the game in a post-game interview with Rodney Harrison, I believe. It also just kind of was one of those games where there were times, right? Like the first drive, Atlanta marched down, did their business. And then Mahomes throws the interception. You're just kind of like, what is going on here? And then, you know, the rest of the game, I know it's a lot of people don't like to dive into the stat book, but when you look at all the categories they went in, right? Total yards. They had 345. They had more than Atlanta, who had 311. Atlanta did have more yards per play. But the Chiefs had 128 rushing yards as opposed to the 82 from Atlanta who have a all-American, all-world running back in Bijan Robinson.
Really? I didn't see him last night. Was he inactive? I missed him last night.
Well, if you
night.
Missed him, he was one of the guys that carried – he was the guy that carried the ball in the last play of the game, the Nick Bolton guy.
Yeah, I missed Bijan Robinson, who's held to his lowest total of rushing yards, second lowest total of rushing yards in his career last night the Chiefs, man. Like, it reminded me of Derrick Henry in the AFC Championship game.
Well, that's what happens when you have guys on your offense – or your defensive line like Chris Jones and Wharton.
Wharton was great last night.
Felix
was
amazing. Duke Uzama looked great last night.
Felix looked great. Are we still talking about, you know, cutting FAU? Are we still worried about FAU? Because he came screaming around the blind side and blew up Kirk Cousins.
Well, if you're mad at FAU will say FU to you because he had his game last night.
He was good last night, man.
Offensive line didn't allow a sack.
Nope.
The Chiefs almost ran 20 more plays than the Falcons. I mean, 72-56. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs dominated in time of possession almost 10 minutes longer than the Atlanta Falcons. And, you know, each had a turnover, so that cancels itself out. Each punted 3 times. But the Chiefs were 6-14 on third down.
Yeah, you got to be better.
When you do that and your opponent goes 2-9, you're going to win most games when you win those sort of stats. And, you know, it's interesting because the Chiefs don't have to do it in the flashy ways that they've done in the past. Look, Rashee Rice was a monster last night.
Right.
Had almost, 15 targets. So Patrick Williams has his guy.
He's got his guy.
Juju Smith-Schuster was fine inside the red zone.
Who had Juju scoring a touchdown before Kelce this year? Did you have that on the bingo card?
I did not. My two-touchdown Kelce bet did not pan
out. Didn't work so good yesterday.
It didn't work for me. Max Parlay didn't work out either.
Over in the first quarter.
And swing and a miss by me on that when I set you all up this week. I thought it was going to be. They tried to get it to Kelce. I think they tried to get it to Kelce yesterday, but I will talk about him as the morning goes along.
We will. We'll get into it. And I've got a couple of takes on Travis as well that I think will help people ease their way into the conversation. But look, you know what? We're not always right. Right? I own that. I'll admit when I'm wrong.
We're wrong more than we're right, man.
Yeah, it's like betting. You know, you miss 5 parlays in a row, but then you hit one that cashes out $550, and it all comes back to play.
Right, you're all feeling good.
But, I mean, a call what it is last night. You went on the road for the first time against an NFC opponent. You watched what everybody did Sunday. Like, I was about to text you guys this and about to say, I'm a little nervous. By the way, Mac, who'd you have winning this game?
Yeah, did you have Atlanta, Mac? Yeah. Had that go for you, buddy. Yeah. Don't bet against the Chiefs. You'll learn sooner rather than later.
So we got Buffalo. We got Buffalo,
we're
Britain.
We're going to lose some games. So.
We got it. We really? Got Buffalo, Britain, and we got Atlanta, Morris.
Atlanta, Mac. I like Atlanta, Mac.
Hey,
I think it flows
better. I'm fine
better.
Being wrong this time. I was
glad. Fine being wrong. I'll pick against the team every time if it means they're going to win.
And I almost see you guys.
I'll be realist.
I almost see you guys a text that I'm watching the slate of games today. I'm a little nervous. I mean, Houston got absolutely blasted by Minnesota.
Houston got motorboated by Minnesota yesterday. Sam Darnold, best USC quarterback in the NFL, and it's not even close.
Okay. I mean, right now. I mean, ceiling's not very high, though, when it comes to
this. No, it never has been for USC quarterbacks, though.
But the thing that's interesting is, like, you go through these games yesterday, and then you get to the Chiefs game at Sunday night, and you're like, okay, just survive in advance.
Survive in advance.
Because you look at what happened yesterday around the league. We'll get into the other games as well, but you look at what the game was leading into that. You look at it and you say, okay, Denver gets a surprise win against Tampa Bay, which I didn't see that coming.
Did not see that one coming. Baker Mayfield playing like Bo Nix. Bo Nix playing like Baker Mayfield yesterday.
The Chargers got beat up in more ways than one.
Oh, my God. I mean, are they going to be able to field a team? The Chiefs are now a 9-point favorite going into this game on Sunday. It opened as a 3.5-point favorite for the Chiefs. That tell you how big the line swing was with,
right.
I think the Chargers lost every named player that they had yesterday, including Joe Alt, which sucks because he's really good. And I'd like to see that kid play a little bit, but I'm glad he's maybe going to miss this game. And then you got the quarterback who's all banged up, leaving in a walking boot yesterday. Like, he probably shouldn't have played yesterday.
Not at all. And we kind of thought that was going to be a reoccurring thing, but you look at what happens around the league, right? Yep. Like, Houston loses. They're a threat to you in the AFC. We've all can agree to that. You're 1-0 against Baltimore. You're 1-0 against Cincinnati. Cincinnati will play tonight against Washington. I think Cincinnati's going to blow them
Cincinnati
out.
Cincinnati destroys Washington tonight.
Well, they finally have their roster back. Higgins is going to play. Chase is there. Yep. Everybody's ready to go. I think that if you're a fantasy guy or you're a betting guy, Brian Robinson Jr. should have a big game. Outside of that, I can't really see that. But again, you got tiebreaker over Cincinnati. They might start getting their engine going again.
Yeah.
Baltimore looked completely just dominant over Dallas.
Until the last, 10 minutes of a game,
which
though.
Is fair.
I mean, jeez.
Classic Baltimore.
Classic Baltimore. Can't finish out a game.
Yeah. And then, you know, you take care of business. You have another chance to take over a AFC West opponent next week, but you survived and you advanced. You're now 3-0. You sit at the top of the AFC with Pittsburgh. And we'll see what Buffalo does tonight. So if Buffalo kind of, you know, has a skid in the road tonight, that makes the picture that much more, visible for the ride of the three-peat. And the best thing you can do is just keep winning so that when you do have this Travis Kelce conversation coming up in a little bit, you can kind of sit everybody. And maybe you'll have such the luxuriousness of being able to sit everybody for 2 weeks, get a first-round bye, and then it's hit the ground running for a three-peat.
Well, and I also think, too, Pittsburgh and Kansas City, you're looking at a battle of unbeatens on Christmas Day in Pittsburgh. That's what this is shaping up for. You watch a battle of unbeaten in Pittsburgh. Their defense is freaking legit, though. I mean, they're giving up like 7 points a game or something like that. I mean, they flat-out get after it. Pittsburgh can play, man. When you have a defense that plays like that, you're not going to lose many football games. And they have the best defensive player in football right now, too. And then the other one we didn't talk about, the Miami Dolphins are cooked as well. We can write them off. I mean, that is done. They took Skylar Thompson out of the game with an injury, put in somebody else. I don't know who the hell played yesterday, quarterback
Boyle.
Towards the end. Was it Tim Boyle yesterday?
Yeah.
So that's
did
where.
Did you see the photo of him?
No, I didn't. No. Show it to me. I've got to see that one. All right.
Yeah.
I'll look at it. But Miami is cooked, and you know, there were four losers. I mean, teams that called the Carolina Panthers about Bryce Young, they ought to be calling about Bryce Young. They ought to be calling about Andy Dalton. They ought to be calling about all these quarterbacks. Matthew Stafford potentially out there. Maybe Brock Purdy needs to be traded because that 49er team is a flat out mess right now as well. So you just take a look at what went on in the NFL. It was Carnage City yesterday. We got a win. We survived. We advanced. We're 3-0. We're the best team in the NFL. And thank you, Chiefs, for getting a win yesterday, because the current win on Friday night, clinch a playoff spot. The rest of the weekend was pot, man. Yeah. It was just awful. The Royals, thanks for coming. We look at KU and K-State. Thanks for showing up. And then Missouri barely beating Vanderbilt at home. Chiefs saved the weekend yesterday. Hail to the Chiefs. They saved the weekend of what would have been a disastrous sports weekend.
That's why you wait all day till Sunday
night. That's right.
We might have to wait all year to see this guy get back. Or at least he said, I'm going to go until the wheels fall off. Those wheels are getting slower and slower. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Bob Fesco, Mac Morey with you as well. We call the show Fesco and Dusty, and it's on your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
First and 10 Chiefs, leading by two at their own 31. Play action fake. Mahomes is going to take a shot near side. Caught by Rice at the 45 and pulled down from behind. And there's your play action pass. The Chiefs get a play action pass to the 42 of the Falcons, a gain of 28 yards. And Rice, he is over 100 now for the second time this season.
Get used to hearing that from Mitch Holtis. Rice over 100 this season. He has, what, a touchdown every single game this year, I think?
I mean, he had 112 yards or whatever it was on 10 catches yesterday. He had an amazing day for this operation. And he's the wide receiver I think we've been looking for maybe since Tyreek Hill left, you know, that type of guy to be the number one, true number one wide receiver. And he is the true number one wide receiver. He's your number one offensive weapon. And I don't even think it's close right now.
Yeah.
With Rashee Rice. I mean, he is the guy, and then he's the guy part two, part three, and part four right now for this offense. I think he's just done a great job. His post-game interview was cute yesterday, too, because he's like, I'm just going to do what Mahomes wants me to do. Wherever he needs me to be, I'm going to be there. Like, he gets it, right?
Yep.
You look at number 15, mm-hmm. whatever he says to do, you go and do that, and we'll have some fun around here. And that's exactly what he's doing right now. Whatever 15 says, I'll be there, man.
It's kind of like Mac and I when we do this show. We just kind of sit here, and you tell us what
that's
to do.
Right.
We'll have fun doing it.
Yeah, have fun doing it. Yeah.
It's like, Bob's going to come in and say this. Just go with it. Have fun.
Have fun.
Smile
with it.
Away.
Yeah.
Yes,
be there. We'll be successful, right?
Maybe I'll have a grill like Rashee Rice one day, too. That thing was shining last night, man.
Icy.
Yeah. I was like, dang, all right.
Yeah, he has as many 100-yard games as he did last season this year.
Two. Absolutely. Yep.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's been great, man. He's outstanding, and that's why we've been telling you since training camp, this is the guy to watch for the Chiefs this year. Meanwhile, Travis Kelce, on the way to the Forum.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce, I think here's my take on this, okay. and I'm just going to throw it out there.
Because you weren't worried about him early in the league before the season started. Mac, I was saying, like, could see a slight, downtick of what he's normally done. You're like, he's fine, don't worry about it. Like,
right.
I am interested to hear where you're at today after week three of Travis Kelce.
I think it's safe to say that he's one of these players that just got old right before our eyes and maybe just doesn't have it anymore. I don't know, man. Like, I know it's been 3 weeks and he hasn't been there and they haven't quite needed him yet. It would be nice if they could utilize him. Maybe teams are focused on taking him out. I don't know what the answer really is right now, but this is what happens with athletes. Like, this is why when you see a big name out there, you should be hesitant to give that guy a big contract or anything like that, because guys wear down and it happens really, really fast. And I think we're seeing right now age starting to really catch up, with Travis Kelce. Like, that, I don't want to call it a drop, but it kind of was, where Jesse Bates stripped that one where it was third down and two and Kelce had it in his hands.
Absolutely.
I'm like, you got to catch that. Jesse Bates made a hell of a play on it. He really did. But I feel like, and I could be totally wrong on this, but I feel like in the past, Travis makes that play, right? Like, holds on, into that play. And he kind of got the equivalent of the Alex Gordon contract. I know people start factoring in money and contracts and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Travis got paid for everything that he's done here in Kansas City. But for the first 3 weeks, he does look like, where are you, man? Like, I don't even know what he looks like right now. Like, where are you? Is it the offense? Is it you not getting open? Is it the defense scheming to take you out? I don't know what it is, other than we can say maybe age is catching up with Travis Kelce, and they've got to find a way to kind of scheme him open a little bit now.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, I try to give a comparison to what we might see his career being, and I kind of paired it to Jason Witten, who was a really, really solid tight end in Dallas for many, many years, and I go to their 10th year in the league, right? You look at Jason Witten's 10th year. 2013 was when
was that after TV or before?
That's right.
Okay.
2013, he would have 73 receptions for 851 yards.
You take that.
Travis Kelce in his 10th year had 93 receptions for 984 yards. That was last year,
right?
Missing the last game because they sat everybody.
Right.
Well, as that would go down, so would Jason Witten's numbers. After the 851 in year 10, year 11, 703 yards. Year 12, 713. Year 13, 673. The receptions all kind of started to go down. Now, 2015 is kind of an anomaly at 104 targets. He had 77 catches for 713 yards. That would have been his last big year. But what Dallas started to do...
And that would have been year like 14 or 15?
Would have been like year like 12 or 13.
12. I don't expect Travis to play 12 or 13 years,
This has got to be...
Like the way it's going right now, I mean...
Right.
Yeah.
And so far this year, Travis Kelce has 8 receptions on 12 targets for 69 yards.
Nice.
0 touchdowns. It was going to happen. I think that, the numbers were going to start to dwindle down. And, I'm not saying that he's washed.
No.
That is not what I'm saying. No. I'm just saying his role isn't going to be 99 catches for 1,000, 1,100, 1,300 yards. That's not his role anymore. That is now Rashee Rice's role.
That's right.
Rashee Rice had 12 catches last night, I think, on 14 or 15 targets. So it's not that, like, Kelce isn't out there. It's just that Mahomes knows where he needs to go in certain moments. And those moments might be Travis Kelce inside the 15-yard line, inside the red zone. He's now a red zone target. That's what Jason Witten was towards the end of his career. And I know there's people that are going to be like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. I disagree with you guys. That's fine. But you've seen three games of Travis Kelce, and they've all three been the same.
Yep.
Last night, he had three catches for 40 yards. He has 69 total yards in 3 weeks.
Which he'd probably be fine with for the rest of the season. Like, if you told him he was going to finish with 69 yards, you're like, that's nice. I like that. But
and
I think what you just did there, though, Dusty, is described exactly why this team is a dynasty.
Right.
And it's because when guys start to fade away, other guys step it up. And we're seeing, in my opinion right now, that seamless transition really from Travis Kelce being the number one weapon to Rashee Rice being the number one weapon. And instead of all of us going, oh, my God, what's going on with Travis Kelce? I think we should all take a step back for a second and look at the big picture and realize, oh, my God, they've done it again. Like, they moved on from Tyreek Hill. They're moving on from Travis Kelce. You know, they're moving on from, you know, whatever defensive player that they've moved on from over the years. And they just continue to restock and refill and get better as they move forward. And I think right now we're seeing that passing of the torch. Everybody was always looking for who's going to replace Travis Kelce. Well, is it going to be Noah Gray? Is it going to be Devin Wiley? Is it going to be whoever tight end that they drafted? And you know who's replacing Travis Kelce right now? Rashee Rice is replacing Travis Kelce. And this offense just continues to evolve and continues to change and continues to stay on top because you continue to draft young players that turn out to be really, really good football players. And when people wonder why the Chiefs are always the best team in the NFL, it goes back to Brett Veach. It goes back to his scouting department. It goes back to all of those guys who assembled the roster, who saw ahead and knew when the end was potentially going to come. And you draft people ahead of time. You start to work them into the offense. And so when the end does come, you're not there like Tim Boyle with your pants down going, oh, my God, what are we going to do here? Travis Kelce's replacement is here, and he's wonderful. And his name is Rashee Rice.
It's a great target to have because a lot of people say, what's Rice going to be? Is he going to be Sammy Watkins? Is he going to be Juju Smith-Schuster? Maybe both. Maybe he's what MVS never was. He's a big body receiver that's gotten quicker in the offseason. And you look at what Rashee Rice did yesterday, 12 catches, 110 yards, and I believe he had 14 targets. Yeah, 14 targets on that. So, look, he had 14. Travis Kelce had 5.
Right.
And I understand there's people like on the text line, well, maybe teams are just like scheming against Travis Kelce.
But it's a 3 week sample size right now, right?
Right. And the thing is like neither one of us here are saying that what other people might, where it's like, oh, his mind's not in football anymore. Oh, he's out of shape. Oh, he just wants to get on with his post-NFL career. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying there comes a point in your life, and I had a guy in high school tell me this, our varsity baseball coach, his name was Brad Mayfield. I remember this till the day I die. He said, everybody's going to want to play a sport. There's going to be a certain point in everybody's life where they're no longer able to compete at that level.
Right.
I'm not saying that he can't compete. I'm just saying that, unfortunately, he's not all world anymore.
Right.
And that's the way
that happens, like, though.
And that's the toughest part of the reality. And I think Alex Gordon's a good comparison.
Yeah.
Where it got to the point where, like, for about 5 or 6 years, it was Gordon plays left. He hits fifth in this lineup. We know what he is. And then all of a sudden, towards the end of it, you know, 17, 18, it was like, boy, he doesn't have that step in left field anymore. He's still got a decent arm. He's still got the respect value where guys aren't going to run on him more often than they should. But it was like, we're watching something that we've had for so long finally get to that point where it's like, you know what? It's like your car. When you buy it the first, you know, 6, 7 years, everything's fine. Then all of a sudden the check engine light comes on. Right. You're like, got to go get it maintenance. Ah, well, you know what? I'm starting to see like more tread. And that's all it is. It's not that Travis Kelce is done.
Right.
But it's a new type of role for Travis Kelce. And guess what? I hate to be this guy, but in like 10 years from now, you ain't going to see the same Mahomes either.
No, you probably are. You know? Yeah,
that's going to happen.
It happens to everybody in the NFL. It happens to everybody in professional sports. Nobody ever leaves when they're on top, right? When they leave, it's like when they're finishing off their career.
Unless you're Cleveland.
Yeah, exactly, right? Unless you're Josh, nobody leaves
what
on top, right?
What a great text we got from him this morning.
3:45 rolled into his driveway, so that's when Kling got home. That, yeah, it wasn't that bad. Yeah, you're right. No, it's not, because I get to sleep now.
Yeah.
3:45, he's pulling into his driveway. I love it. But this is what happens, and it's okay just to say, you know what, Father Time is undefeated, and we're seeing Father Time, you know, and Travis Kelce, they're probably shaking hands right about now. The Chiefs are also probably realizing that, and they're like, okay, let's see how we can preserve him as long as we possibly can this season, and then when we get to the playoffs, maybe we unleash Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes for one final time, and that's what you have to look at as well. I mean, you know, Mark Collins in here the other day said, we don't need Travis Kelce, right? And they didn't last night. They would have liked to have had him yesterday, but you're going to need Travis Kelce towards the end of the season. And if he kind of, I don't want to even use the term meanders, but just kind of hangs out for the regular season and then steps it up in the playoffs like he did last year, and this team wins another Super Bowl and he rides off into the sunset, great. I read an article this morning when I was sitting on the John about Travis Kelce, and somebody was claiming that he needs to retire and then take over the Cincinnati Bearcats job and be their new football coach. Travis Kelce's not coaching the University of Cincinnati, okay? I'm just going to put that one to rest right now. Travis Kelce got a lot more on plate than going to coach a moribund football program in the University of Cincinnati. But just accept it for what it is. Guys get old. In every profession, you start to slow down. You start to have that wear and tear. You start to have other interests. You start to look at life differently. And I think that's kind of where Travis Kelce is right now. It's like the perfect storm of everything coming together. And it's okay because the Chiefs saw it coming a couple of years ago and drafted Rashee Rice. And they have worked him in, and now he is your number one option. And you're not going to miss a beat offensively because him and Patrick Mahomes, my God, are they on the same page, right? Like, you look at those two together, that's an unbelievable duo that we have right now. And I love watching Rashee Rice play. And you said he got faster in the offseason. You're absolutely right about that. That guy like developed speed that I didn't know he had. I thought he was more of a big bodied possession receiver. He's now turning into a guy that can beat you with his feet.
Right. And again, like, I'm not saying that he's done. I'm not saying that he's washed. If you want to hear that, you can listen
Carrington.
To 2-6. Yeah. That's his narrative that he's rolling with. I'm just saying, I think it is almost like a cultural shock that you're not seeing 7 catches, 99 yards, and a touchdown. You're just not seeing that anymore.
You're not.
You're going to see more of 4 or 5 catches, maybe, for anywhere from
40 to 60 yards
receiving.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, they don't really have a whole lot of, you know, they don't have a whole lot of red zone opportunities because they got Rashee Rice, who scores every time he's like 45 yards out. It seems like there's a touchdown there. So I am interested to see if there is going to be that team, and maybe it's next week.
Yeah, against it could be the Chargers.
The Chargers,
right?
You'll say, you know what? He is washed. Let's just single coverage him. And then you have that random game where Travis goes.
Right.
It's a lot.
And then the text line will be here. See, we told you. Nobody's saying he's washed. We're saying he's 35 years old.
There's a new role for him.
Right.
And I tried to warn people about this in the preseason that it might look a lot like whenever Jason Witten hit that. I'm sure people in Dallas were like, oh man, Jason Witten ain't that guy anymore. I'm sure there were people in Carolina that were like, oh man, Greg Olsen ain't him no more.
Do you remember the first player in your fandom, in your life, where you went, oh my God, that guy got old. What happened to him? Do you remember who that player was?
Yeah, probably
for you?
Randy Johnson.
Randy Johnson. Okay. Mac probably hasn't had that yet. He's still, you know, eating mac and cheese out of the box. Unless you have. But for me, it was
like the microwavable kind, 3.5 minutes every night.
Yeah. Okay. All right. There you go.
Fair enough.
All right, good for you. For me, it was Rodney Hampton. Like, he was really good one year and then disappeared. And then he ended up like a Chiefs training camp one year. I'm like, oh my God, Rodney Hampton. And like, he fell off the face of the earth. And that's when you realize this league, NFL, not for long. And if you put in 10 years plus, like Travis Kelce has in this league and had this career, eventually that wall is going to be hit. And I think people are having kind of that first experience. But instead of just looking at the reality and the facts of saying, wow, he is 35 years old and he's starting to slow down maybe a little bit, everybody wants to blame the ancillary stuff. He's too involved with movies. He's too involved with pop culture. He's too involved with this. He needs to get more into his playbook. No, he got to the point where, you know what? Father Time may caught up with him. And if we go out here and we utilize him, you know, in bits and pieces, and he finds a way to help this team as we move down the stretch, and he's big in the postseason, that's all you need out of Travis Kelce this year right now.
Right.
And that's because Rice has emerged.
The other thing is, you didn't hear Travis Kelce's name a whole lot. You also didn't hear Wanya Morris's name a lot.
He was good last night, guys. I thought he was really good last night.
Really good.
Yeah.
And he got what's his name? Is it the old pass rusher from New England?
Matthew Judon.
Yeah. And he was a little banged up. So, I mean, that wasn't a huge test. But again, Bosa got hurt this week, so he may not play this week against the Chiefs.
Oh, Bosa got hurt? No way. Really? Yeah. Oh, it's the football season. Uh-huh. That's right.
Bosa hurt. Herbert
hurt. Rashawn Slater hurt. Like both of their tackles, right?
Both of their all pro,
I don't know that I've ever seen, like we talked about, a line swing go from 3.5 to a 9.8 just like that, right?
If I'm the Chiefs, I would just rest everybody and let Carson Wentz go out there and play a week and let Pat just sit and take care and just mail it in.
Yeah, well, maybe if you establish a 2-score lead early on in this one, you do something like that, then call Pat Mahomes in to kind of win it for you later like they did in Denver's first game. But
right, but no, Wanya Morris, you don't hear his name. That's a good thing.
That's great, yeah.
Suamataia was good in week one. But Max seemed to like what he saw at the left tackle position for one Wanya Morris.
Yeah, very excited. But like you said, Dusty, it's 1 week. Kingsley was really good in week one, and then we saw what happened week two. So I just want to see that consistency. But I'm excited about that.
Yeah,
that was great.
Like
you said, Bob, you don't want to hear their name. Like, it's like a cornerback. You don't want to hear their name very often.
The only time we heard it was at the beginning when they were talking about the situation. Yep. And then Wanya Morris turned into, I don't know, I'm watching a play right here. He just got beat, but we still got a big reception down the field. But that's okay. You're never going to play a perfect game,
I think,
right?
It was two pressures.
And I thought Wanya Morris was really, really good. I thought the whole offensive line was really good last night. They gave Mahomes a lot of opportunity last night, not only to throw the football, but they gave those running backs an opportunity to run as well. So kudos to the offensive line for stepping it up, and I thought really playing big, especially with Carson Steele back there, you know, making his first NFL start and really getting that opportunity to be that go-to guy. You got to be as good. You're only as good as your offensive line, and they were really good, and it felt like every time he touched the ball, he was getting 5, 6, 7 yards a clip yesterday. Like, he ran good, like a hot knife through butter, basically.
We've had a lot of positives. Were there any negatives that you guys had to pick apart from the game last night in that win?
Oh, I think you just got to get TDs, not field goals. You know, you got to punch it in. The two field goals early, like this is another one of those games that, you know, Josh always talks about, like, you've got a lead, you've dominated, you're 10 minutes in time of possession, and you're only up by 5. Like, you've got to convert, not field goals, you've got to get 6. And they'll tell you the exact same thing too. They've got to find a way to get into the end zone. But look, defense have gotten better in the NFL. I think defenses are kind of now picking up where the offense was for the last 5 years. A lot of speed on defenses in this league right now. Nobody's fooled by anything. It's harder to score. But with this Chiefs team and with Patrick Mahomes, you've got to find a way to get in the end zone and negate field goals right now.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I'm with you on that. I'd like to see a little bit more pressure. I mean, I know they had 2 sacks, but I mean, that's Kirk Cousins, man. Yeah. Like, that's a statue back there, and he just was able to sit back there. Like, the pass rushing is a little bit of a minor issue for a 3-0 team if we can call spade a spade. Like, if we can sit here on our high horse and talk about how great, you know, the team looks at 3-0. Yeah, but I mean, imagine they fix a couple of these other things. You're not playing in these 22-17 games or these, you know, 26-25 against Cincinnati.
26-25, yeah.
And, you know, when you let Kirk Cousins sit back there and throw it, he's going to get you.
Yeah.
And if you get pressure on him, he's going to make mistakes. One time that they did get pressure to him was the interception to Jamari Connor that he then was like, here, take it and try to score here. And I thought that was something that could be a little bit of concern is this was a statue quarterback back there. Not a whole lot of pressure.
Well, it was their highest of the season, though. Like,
which is good to see that.
Yeah, like it was their highest pressure rate of the season. They got the Kirk Cousins like 42% of the time. So they got there. They just didn't bring him to the ground. And that's okay. I think if you get pressure on him, you hit him a few times, make him a little gun shy, make him throw a football. Maybe when he doesn't want to throw a football, make him scared back there in the pocket. I think they did a pretty good job of that. You'd love to see more sacks, obviously, in a game. But for the most part, they were doing their best to get home yesterday. I'm not going to nitpick that one as much as maybe, you know, just converting those. If you convert those touchdowns instead of field goals, we're not talking about anything else. We're talking about a blowout win yesterday.
Right. Is there any issue with Mahomes and the interceptions?
God, his balls have looked a little like a little short, maybe not enough air under them at times. Like, he hasn't been on target. this year in the first three games. I look at Patrick Mahomes and I'm like, you could step it up a little bit. It's okay to say that. You know, it's okay to say that. Like the first, you know, play into the end zone where they he was open. Like Mahomes,
that
was a bad
end zone to throw to. Let him run.
Let him run. And then there was a play with where he just, you know, missed Rashee Rice, didn't lead him, threw him behind
him.
And
almost, you know, ended up
being an interception in that game. So there was a couple of plays I look at. I'm like, all right, come on now, step it up a little bit, right? Like step it up a little bit and make sure your throws are on target. And if his throws are on target, again, we're probably talking about a blowout win yesterday.
And again, 3-0.
3-0, so, right. Exactly. Yep. Like we're nitpicking a little things here and a little thing there and a little thing here. And this team is still 3-0. And in this league right now, to be sitting at 3-0 is unbelievable because this is a whacked out league right now. Man, this is a league that is scatterbrained.
That's right.
They have no idea what they're doing.
I mean, I don't even know how people are betting in the NFL this year.
Oh, God. I was listening to Ben talking about getting just housed this weekend.
I mean, everybody did. Everybody gets it, you know?
It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Guys, we got to have a conversation. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it.
Damn it.
But I've got to call myself out on this because as the captain of the Royal Caribbean Cruise, we are intaking a ton of water. I apologize to you all on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Cousins' pocket collapses, ball flutters in the air, intercepted. Intercepted by Chamari Connor, who hands it off now on the near side to Jalen Watson. Chamari Connor, his second takeaway in as many weeks. As there was a hit on Cousins and the ball flew up in the air. And Kansas City with 32 seconds has the ball now at the Atlanta 34 and a chance to score.
It was an interception. The Kansas City ball, first down.
Damn right it was. We almost had another scoop and score type play where the guy picked it and said, here you go.
Yeah, that would have been cool if we get another one of those like in that Miami game back in Germany days. And, you know, that's... Wow, that was a big moment for the for
this
team.
That's when it was over, huh?
That's when it was over for me yesterday when they got that interception, made a nice play, got the pick, finally kind of turned it up a little bit, turned it around a little bit, and this sucker was over with that big time interception for the Chiefs and Shamari Connor yesterday, who played a really nice game. I don't know if you looked at his stat line at the end of the day, 10 tackles for that dude, right? Had two passes defended, and he also had that big interception. At least he didn't show his ass yesterday like Tim Boyle did.
Well, that's not his fault. Boy, that guy's got...
I mean, how about a belt?
It looks like he... It kind of looks like he gets waxed.
How about a belt, man?
I mean, I'm looking into it.
Did the front, like, did anything happen to that? And the front's covered up? All right.
I don't think that's Boyle's ass, though, but because the guy's number is like 80, but either way, it might be Boyle. Maybe that's number 8. Nah, it's definitely like a tight end.
I don't know, but anyway.
Looks like a loose end.
Yeah, very very interesting performance yesterday by Miami. They're done. See you later, Dolphins. Right. Enjoy the ride back to South Florida. So Chiefs get a big win yesterday, 3-0, man. Just relax, have fun. It's good season. That, like we were just talking in break, like, have you not been entertained by the first 3 weeks of this NFL season?
My gosh.
You know, we were talking about Kiper last week wanting to ban whatever the too high safety is out of the NFL. It's ruining the game. Dusty in break says, or it's making the game more interesting. Like, nobody knows anymore what's going on in this league.
It's like a whole new way to do life.
Yeah.
You got to figure it out. And if there's one team I believe that will figure it out, it's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Exactly right. Yes.
And All right. I owe you all an apology. Because I believe it was Thursday. I lost my cool. I was yelling. The veins were sticking out of my neck. I said to everybody, please relax. Please be fine. I got called out on X this weekend. Somebody says, boy, you're really quiet about this Royals team now. And I said, well, I don't know what you want me to tell you. So I told him how I felt. I said, man, this sucks. This hurts. This ship, this whole ride, this whole thing is collapsing in front of our eyes. You go 0-6 on your final homestand.
Yeah, especially when they begged everybody to come out, you know?
It kind of gives me the same vibe of how those two playoff games for the Chiefs that year that they lost in the AFC Championship game. Because the start of the season, the middle of the season, everything's going well. you just got out of that riptide or that other gauntlet where you went 9-11. You didn't really collapse. You did have a 7-game losing streak in that 20-game stretch, but you survived. And you're, again, they're still technically a playoff team.
Yep, they are.
Because Minnesota is doing the same thing you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But don't look now. Seattle Mariners are starting to make noise again.
They're two back.
Detroit's doing everything that they're supposed to do.
They're ahead of you now.
They are the story of the American League now. The Royals are now on the back burner.
Right.
The Royals were the story for 3/4 of the way. Well, they're done at home. Mm-hmm. I was at the game Friday. Had a chance in the ninth inning to do it. Something weird happened. They had like a replay, but then they didn't review it. Then they
what was
came
that
back.
Foul ball, which was, I mean, so you were at the game.
I was there.
You missed Ryan explaining what a foul ball was to Hudler.
I mean,
I was dying.
Yeah.
I was crying. He goes, and Hud goes, well, that cleared third base. And Ryan goes, it doesn't count when it's in the air.
Yeah.
And Hud's like, oh, like he had just learned what a foul ball was.
Well, it was weird because they put under review on the screen, but they wouldn't show anything.
Yeah.
And then the manager of the Giants comes out and he talks and he's talking to the umpire. And then Royals manager Cotrero comes out and he's kind of like, well, what was that all about? You can see he was frustrated. And then there was like the opportunity to win the game and they didn't do it.
Yeah.
This team is averaging 1.8 runs in their 7-game losing streak, another one or 8-game losing streak that they're currently on. They're not scoring. Everybody's pitching around Bobby Witt Jr. Your captain, Salvador Perez, had a chance yesterday to really, you know, kind of like let everybody exhale, bases loaded, eighth inning. And then as soon as that happens and then nothing happens out of it, you're like, well, that's it.
Yeah, and they lose 2-0, you know.
It's one of those things now where I get it. You know, I use the comparison of the Chiefs winning that 13-second game. Everybody in the city's high. Don't fear the Reaper. All this stuff comes out. And then the air is completely taken out of it when they lose to the Cincinnati Bengals in the AFC Championship game. And Mahomes didn't look like Mahomes in the second half.
Right.
Kind of the same thing with the Royals, right? We rode this ship all year long. It's been great. They've been a surprise. They've had the pitching. They've had, you know, a manager of the year candidate, an executive of the year in J.J. Piccolo. They've had a Cy Young threat at Seth Lugo. They had an MVP threat at Bobby Witt Jr. And then now it's just, you know, the whole like, yeah, this season's been fun. They were competitive. We love it. Now you're like, okay, well, this sucks because they're having an epic collapse, and that's what we're watching is, in fact, that because you've lost, what, 8 in a row? Seven in a row?
7 in a row. You haven't won since September 14th.
You lost that last game against the Pirates.
Right.
And then you got
six in a row at home.
Yeah. And it's tough because you've seen this team give you hope all year. You've seen this team be great all year, and I've been the number one fan of this, and like I said, I will go down with the ship. I will sink with it if it does. But it's disappointing to watch it now because – everything was there on the table. 3.5-game lead, cinch in the playoff. I called it. I still have the audio for it. I said, book it. September 18th, this team is going to make the playoffs. I promise you, they'll play baseball in October, on October 1st. I don't know anymore.
Yeah, I don't know right now. And I don't know. I didn't even look at the playoff odds this morning, but they're still like in a playoff spot. Like if the season ended today, they're still in. And, you know, Saturday we were out at the ball game as well, left in like the end of the seventh or end of the eighth inning. And it was quickly over, you know, after that. But I want to go back to Friday night because this kind of sets up where I'm coming from right now on this one. Who struck out to end the game? Tommy Pham, right?
He did.
Tommy Pham. Why is Tommy Pham at the bat right now is what I want to know, because this is the first time this year that I actually have some beef with Q in the organization. And to me, they're acting desperate right now. And in the big picture, they're not desperate. This is a new regime, right? Like like Q and JJ, they do whatever they want. They've had a great season. They're acting like it's a desperation time. Small picture this season, yes, it is desperation time, right? But you got to take a view of the globe, right? Big picture up in space floating around, and you see the whole world this year, right? Is the way that they're approaching this last couple of weeks of the season really best for the big picture going forward for this organization? And I don't think it is. I think the Royals right now are hurting the development of MJ and Massey and even Garcia at times. When you have Tommy Pham and Rex Grossman and Garrett Hampson all in the lineup like you did yesterday or on Friday night or this weekend, you're taking valuable pressure at bats away from MJ Melendez, from Michael Massey, from Mikel Garcia. All three of those guys, I believe, are probably going to be here next year. Pham and Grossman and Hampson, those guys are not part of your future right now. And this is a valuable learning experience. This is like 2013 all over again when you are allowing Moose and Haas and Kane and Eske and those guys to play every single day. The Royals are this is where I get pissed at analytics, because the Royals are wasting time right now looking at the analytics instead of looking at the big picture and saying, let's let our young guys play in these pressure type situations. So next year, when we get to this point of the season, they understand what this pressure is like. I think the organization right now is doing a disservice to their younger players by going with these matchups and going with these analytical things and allowing Tommy Pham and Gross and the Hampson was who's your DH? Is it Grossman or Hampson? Was your DH yesterday. This is the point of the season where you get valuable learning experience, and the organization isn't allowing those guys to get that valuable experience right now. So if you're going to fall out of the playoff spot, at least do so with young guys who are gaining experience and understanding what playoff at-bats are like night in and night out. And I think we're missing a big opportunity by not playing these young guys right now.
I would just say let Bobby Wood Jr. lead off the final six games and see what happens.
And see what happens. But you know what? They're not pitching to him.
That's fine. They started the game off with a walk.
Yeah.
Right? How many times do we get in the later innings, mid, fifth, sixth, seventh, where it's 8-9-1?
Yeah.
If there's a guy on first, you're walking Bobby Wood Jr., fine.
Fine. Yeah.
Then do it. But I mean.
But also, too, like these veteran guys that you went out and acquired have had a hot moment here. But at the end of the day, they're not part of your future. I'd rather see Bobby Witt Jr. lead off and MJ, Massey, and Garcia in the lineup other than a Grossman, a Pham, and a Hampson who are at the end of the month are done and they're going to move on and go do their thing. Right now, there's just not enough in this lineup. Either way you look at it, whether you play the young guys or these veteran guys, I'd rather have these young guys playing and getting experience, because it all comes down to you don't have to pitch to Bobby. Mm-hmm. Salvi's now your only other bat in the lineup. And boy, oh boy, the inability to go out there and just move on from the Vinny injury has really been a devastating thing. And that's why when you look at what the Chiefs are doing right now, they're building up their organization constantly and getting young players constant playing time. So when Travis Kelce does age out, you don't miss a beat. You got Rashi Rice in there. And I think right now this organization is doing a disservice to their younger players by not letting them play and allowing, vagabond veterans to get at-bats.
Royals off day today. They'll play the Washington Nationals Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Then they'll play the Braves to wrap up the season Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The Twins, who are a game behind the Royals, and the Tigers, who are tied for the second wild card spot right now, have the Marlins and then Baltimore. Mm. And then your Detroit Tigers. Well, it doesn't get any better for you guys, Royals fans. They get the Rays and the White Sox. So, yeah. Again, I apologize for being overly dramatic. I just was really optimistic. And look, this team's still a playoff team as we sit
here
today.
As of right now, the teams are still chasing
them. September 23rd.
Right.
There's six games left in 7 days.
We need an off day today like it's nobody's business, though, my man.
But I feel like if they're gonna make the playoffs, they got to go 4-2 in these final six.
What do you think their playoff odds are right now?
50%.
You think? Mm. Let's see what it says here on Baseball Reference. Wow. 68.4%?
Close, but no cigar. Derek Johnson will join us on the other side as it is 7 o'clock here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.